The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
Well, good morning. We're in the middle of talking, well, more towards the end of talking about four chairs. Those of you who don't know, these are not the four chairs. They're four chairs we put on stage as an object lesson. And the reason for the four chairs is to give us an idea of where we are spiritually. We believe that Jesus gave us the Great Commission. The commission was, as we go, to make disciples. And the point is not just to make disciples, but to make disciples who make disciples. So the four chairs are just a visualization that kind of help us gauge where somebody is that we're trying to reach, first of all, and also where we are, because it's important that we progress through the four chairs. And we've talked about how the first chair is somebody who is a seeker, somebody who is seeking Christ, seeking something in their life that is missing. And it's up to you and me to go to them and share the gospel with them and to walk with them and to teach them about Jesus so that they experience the cross and they become a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Christ. And what happens when they do that is they move into chair two. And chair two is for the believer. This is a young believer. This is a person who is growing, who's learning, who's a child, a spiritual child who needs spiritual milk. And if you don't know, the chair is extremely comfortable. And it's very easy to get stuck here. So this is the comfy chair. And I'm going to talk today again about how we have a tendency to leave people in this chair. But this is for the believer, and we're walking alongside them and doing discipleship training. We're teaching them what it means to walk with Christ and be as Jesus was. And in the meantime, they are reaching their friends still. This is a place of growth, but it's not a place to stay. And ultimately, we want to get them into the next chair, which is the worker. This is the one who realizes that we're here for more than just one thing. We're here for more than just for me. I'm here for others. And I begin to volunteer in the church and go out and meet my neighbor, do things for my neighbors. And now we're starting to get into the spiritual meat. We're getting deeper. We're not just drinking spiritual milk. Now we're digging into the deeper things of God. And we're beginning to walk with Him more and more. And we're starting to see a tunnel vision. And when we get that tunnel vision of where we're supposed to go, be like a laser, then we're in chair four, which is for the disciple maker. This is the one who knows, the person who realizes that I realize what I'm here for. I am here to make disciples of Jesus Christ because that is what lasts for eternity. What you and I do here on this earth, our jobs, our friends, our school, that's temporary. It's not permanent. But what we do in here in chair four, that's permanent. That's for eternity. And that's the chair four, the person who's making disciples. And that's their goal. Just as a side note, a chair four person passed away this week. Billy Graham. He was a chair four person. He knew his goal in life was to be an evangelist and to help people find Christ and follow Jesus Christ in their life. That was the whole goal of his life. And he's been an inspiration to a lot of people. And his family is continuing to do that. But that's a chair four person. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us all to be chair four people. But we're all somewhere along the way. Hopefully not here. If we are, we need to talk. And we don't want to be stuck here. We don't just want to be here. But sometimes we have places where we get stuck. And so last week, I talked about sticking places. What sticks us in that chair? We use the parable of the sower to do that. Well, today, I'm not going to talk about sticky points. We're going to talk about barriers. What keeps us from moving forward in the chair? Not just being stuck in the chair, but even if we were ready to move physically, we can't because there's a barrier in front of us. And we're going to use the book of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read God's word. We stand in honor of God's word. I'm going to ask you to stand as I read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. This is one of the teachings of Christ as he was heading down to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's teaching his apostles, his disciples about this, and this is what he says. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean. He's talking to his disciples because of the word that I have spoken to you. abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it and believe. Father, we praise you for your word. Your word is mighty and powerful. It encourages us. It feeds us, Father. Father, I pray today that it would feed us deeply with a richness that only comes from you and from the Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. If we look at this, what Jesus is talking about here, and I know if you read it quick enough, it kind of seems like your eyes will get crossed as you're reading it, but it makes sense. And if we look at the chairs and we look at these verses, we can see that, you know, chair one would be no fruit, okay? The lost person can do nothing to yield the harvest for God. A lost person does not create fruit for God, okay? They don't. They're for themselves. That's what they're here for. Then we have chair two. That's the fruit that Jesus is talking about. He talks about that in those that he prunes so that they bear fruit. This is a chair two person. They are beginning to bear fruit, but it's not outward fruit. Usually it's inward fruit. We kind of talked about that a little bit last week where they're starting to bear the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. You know, you're starting to see some changes going on in their lives. That's fruit that they're bearing. It's more of an inward fruit. But that's the chair two person. The new believer begins to grow and harvest for the Lord. Chair three is the more fruit. You know, he prunes you so you can bear more fruit. And this is in chair three. And in chair four is the much fruit. See, God's ultimate goal is for everyone to bear much fruit. Why? Jesus tells us here. In the last verse, in verse 8, so that you can prove that you are my disciples. You prove that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ because you are making disciples. But there are barriers. And the first barrier comes here between chair 1 and chair 2. And that barrier is sin. If we look at verse 2, we can see, what does Jesus say that the Lord does with the fruitless branch? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, what does he do? He takes it away. And ultimately, those branches are taken away, gathered up, and they're burned. So those that don't bear fruit are going to burn. Non-believers will not get into heaven. It's a simple fact. I'm not deciding that. That's up to God. But those that do not believe in Jesus Christ, who have not accepted him as their Lord and Savior, are they going to be gathered up and burned. The Greek word that is used here is actually cut off. That's how it's kind of interpreted here. And that term used here is arrow. It's the word arrow in Greek. Now, what's interesting about this verse is that this word appears about 100 times in the New Testament. But this is the only place that it's used for cut off. Every other time it is used, and this is what I like about it, is the fact it is used for lifting up. Okay? It's for lifting up and placing in another place. A different location. Now, I have a great barber at home. I wish this was my great barber. This is not my great barber. I wish it looked like that. But when you have a great barber and one of the branches falls off, it falls down into the dirt and into the mud, it will not produce fruit. So what I have to do is if I see it that's on the ground, I have to go in and I have to lift it up. And I have to clean it off, and I have to reattach it to the arbor. I want you to think about this. What does Jesus do for us? He reaches down into the dirt where we are, where we are fruitless, where we are not going to bear anything. And he lifts us up, he cleans us off, and puts us back on his arbor. I like that idea of arrow, of lifting up, of putting us someplace. Because if they stay down, we don't get the sun. But if we go up on the arbor, we get the sun. If we leave the branch in the dirt, it's never going to bear fruit. If Jesus didn't come and die for us, we never would have borne any fruit. But he did, and he cleaned us, and he lifts us up before the Father. Okay? It's a great picture we see. In John 15:6, it says, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burn." See, the barrier between fruit and no fruit in our lives is sin. It's sin. When we fall into the dirt, we fall out of the sunlight. And I'm talking sunlight of S-O-N. We fall out of the sun's light. We fall into the dirt. We're sinning. We stay in the mud. And we'll spiritually shrivel up if we don't get back into the sunlight. And we're unproductive. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need to be in Christ. I'm going to talk maybe in a couple weeks, talk about that. How do we do that? How do we stay in Christ? It's hard. We need to be lifted up out of the dirt. We need to be arrowed and cleaned off and placed back in the sunlight. Then we can move from no fruit to fruit. We must always deal with known sin in our life. If there's a sin you are committing now and you know about it, you had better be dealing with it. Because if you don't, you will not bear any fruit. I'm not talking about salvation. It's a whole other issue. I'm talking about you bearing the fruit that God wants you to bear. Sin. Now, it doesn't matter what chair you're in. You could be in chair 3, and chair 2 and 3 or 4, and you could be sinning. You will not bear fruit. Why? Because that sin is a barrier between you and God. And you need to change that. You need to fix that. Something I'm going to talk about next week. I don't think it's just sin. It's also the sin of relationships. When you have a relationship that's not mended, when you hate somebody, you don't like somebody, and you haven't mended, you haven't forgiven somebody, that's a sin. If you don't forgive someone, that's a sin. I mean, you need to forgive them because you've been forgiven. And that if you don't do that, it keeps you from bearing fruit. We must always deal with our sin. And we do that with prayer and repentance. In 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess to God, he will forgive. That's all we need to do. And pray to him. "Please, God, forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for the hatred I have for my brother. Forgive me for the things I've done." We need to do that. While we remain in our sin, we cannot bear fruit, no matter what chair we're in. We will not bear fruit. And this is why when somebody's in chair 1 and we want them to move to chair 2, we have to deal with their sin. We're sharing the gospel with them, saying, "You need to ask for forgiveness." "Well, I haven't done anything wrong." "Yeah, you have. You were born." "Sorry, we were born with sin. We have a sin nature. We have thoughts we shouldn't have. We gossip. We do things we shouldn't do, and we say things we shouldn't say. We sin. It's part of who we are, unfortunately. But if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation. God can make us new, but we need to ask him to forgive us. So we need to make sure the person who's in chair 1 is dealing with their sin and repenting. Now, as we are growing, we may sin less and less, but we still need to make sure that we're not falling into a trap that's been laid before us and make sure that we're not sinning, and we need to ask for forgiveness even then. Now, The question may come, if someone produces no fruit, are they still a Christian? I've been asked that. If they're not producing fruit, they must not be a Christian, right? Because Christians bear fruit. Now, some may argue that if there's no real fruit, then there's no real life. And while there is some truth to that statement, we must be careful not to read more into these verses than what's there. Because remember what it says. If we go up here to verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, up until this point, anybody who was in me was a Christian in the book of John. So if you're in Christ, you're a believer. So he's saying anybody who is a believer in me and yet does not bear fruit, the Lord cuts off. We need to understand, it's not a matter of losing our salvation, it's a matter of losing our fruit, losing our fruit-bearing ability. It's not positional, it's relational. I mean, we've all had our days, our months, or even our years when we don't bear fruit. I've had a time in my life where I turned away from the church. I didn't bear any fruit. I wasn't doing anything necessarily wrong. I just got fed up with the church. I still love God. I still prayed. But I got fed up with the body, and I shouldn't have. And I had to repent of that and come back. So, I had my time where I was bearing no fruit. But that doesn't mean I wasn't a believer and I wasn't saved. It was just a matter of I wasn't fruitful as I should have been. See, the thing is, we must never stay in the state of unfruitfulness, because there's a chance that, we will never bear fruit. We won't do what God wants us to do. And while we may be saved, he'll cut us off and we'll never be able to bear it. We'll never be able to be what God wants you to be. Be all that you can be, right? No, be all that God wants you to be. In order to do that, you must bear fruit. And for most of the scripture, bearing fruit is making disciples, leading others to Christ. God will do anything he can, whatever it takes to get us to turn back to him. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 6, it says, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. I wish I could tell Caleb this. Son, don't get weary when I discipline you. When your mother tells you something, don't roll your eyes. We tell our kids that. Why? We don't tell them why. It's not because, we should be saying, don't roll your eyes when your mother tells you to do something, because she's telling you that because she loves you. God puts us through things because he loves us. And man, they're hard sometimes. I know. I've been through some hard things in my life, and I know I've got some hard things coming up. That's okay. Because he takes you to the point where you can't do it by yourself and you rely on him instead of yourself to do it. Don't be upset when God does those things. It goes on to say, for the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. God is jealous, and God will not tolerate sin in your life, and he will do whatever he can to make you turn back to him. I hear a story one time of a guy who had been... told the gospel, this is his story of his salvation, was told the gospel, and he didn't believe it. He's like, I just can't believe it. This was a good friend of his who kept telling him about it, and he would go, and so he's like, I just won't talk about it anymore. So for about a week, he didn't see his friend, but all the time he kept turning around, somebody would say something to him that would remind him of the gospel. It's out of the blue. Somebody who would never have said this to him would say, Jesus loves you. And he's like, where'd that come from? God is persistent. And he's more persistent than we are. And he can outlast all of us. Better to turn to him quickly than to try his patience. The second barrier And this is what happens between the second chair and the third chair is a barrier of good things. These are good things that we see happening. As we move into chair two, we start to experience God's plan for our lives. That's a good thing. We're feeling good about it. You know, hey, I'm saved. I've been forgiven my sins. It's great. I'm learning all these new things. I'm trying. I'm praying. I'm feeling good about it. And those good things become a barrier. Jesus says, he says in 15:2 again, he says, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, which is chair one. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. See, when we begin to bear fruit, God begins to prune us. He cuts off some things. And it may be good things. It may be your best friend from high school who is actually toxic for you. Or maybe your best friend from high school who's not toxic for you and is actually a really good friend, but it's just not where God wants you to be. And he may prune that person out of your life. For me, man, one of the hardest things to do is to go up to my grapes, my grapevines, and cut them off. I mean, I cut them back a lot, way back. And the next year, they just grow out even bigger. But every time I go to cut it, I'm like, am I cutting it too far, right? Is it too much? It took all this time to grow. What if I just let it go and grow some more? You know, have it be even bigger. But the problem is, if it gets bigger, it doesn't become fruitful. I need to cut it back. Cut it back and prune it. I prune off live things. I prune live plants for it to grow better. The great thing is that God is a master gardener. He knows exactly what you need to prune out of your life, and he can do it for you. This is where I talked about how sometimes some churches and some people will get stuck in this chair because of this barrier. They'll say, hey, that's all you need to do. Just get saved and you'll be good, right? They allow people to stay in chair two. We make Christian life comfortable, you know? I mean, they don't want to move out of it. We don't challenge them. We need to challenge people in chair two. We need to challenge them with the truth of the gospel. We need to challenge them to go deeper. We need to challenge them to get off of spiritual milk and to start thinking about eating spiritual meat. I don't know of anybody in here, and there's no babies in here, who only live on milk. We live on meat. Now, let me put it this way. We live on protein. If you're a vegetarian, you may not live on meat. That's okay. But we live on meat, spiritual meat. It's the deep things of God that feed us and help us grow stronger. It's not milk. If we lived on milk, we'd never survive. We need more. We need the deeper things of God. The danger is to stay in here because we're comfortable. And we don't want those good things pruned away from us. I like my milk. I like Jesus loves me, this I know, and that's all I'm going to sing, right? No, there's a lot deeper things you need to know, a lot deeper things you need to sing and know. We don't want to be stuck there, and it involves pruning, and it hurts. It's how we move from no fruit to more fruit in the next year. But without pruning, it'll never happen. When I pruned, the first year I moved in, to our house, I pruned back the vines of my grape arbor. And the next year, I got probably about 4 gallons of grapes. And then when this following year came up through, I pruned it back again a lot. I probably got about 7 gallons of grapes this next time. I'm hoping that if I prune it just right, I might get 10 gallons of grapes. Not because I love grape juice, but because I think it's awesome. I like to grow this stuff. And I make grape jelly and all kinds of things out of it. But I need to prune it. If I don't prune it, it would never happen. God prunes us. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Man, this is one of these verses I need to leave in Caleb's room, in Abigail's room. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for to those who have been trained by it. My mom and dad are sitting right here. And I can tell you right now, I didn't like a single bit of the discipline they gave me. But I want to tell you, today, I love the discipline they gave me. because it made me who I am. Don't get uncomfortable, Jake. It's okay. It's hard. I don't like how God has disciplined me. I hate it, but it's needed. It prunes me. But what gets pruned? Not bad things, but good things. A gardener will remove a flower in order to get a fruit. A beautiful flower gets removed. It's a good thing. Or we make room on a branch by removing part of it. And that's why it's so painful and why we struggle with it. The third barrier is between chair 3 and chair 4 when we are, you know, we've got no fruit, we got fruit, we got more fruit, but now we need to bear much fruit. And that is satisfaction. We start working in the church, we start doing things, and we're like, hey, this is great, this is the way it's supposed to be, it's awesome. And we get satisfied with where we are. We get complacent. We get comfortable. I believe the church has gotten comfortable, not just this church, not just the Protestant church. I think every church, every Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, Methodist, I think every church in this country especially has gotten complacent and comfortable. We've got to be uncomfortable. We can't be satisfied with where we are. We start to see more fruit in chair 3 that's being produced, and we're tempted to say, hey, this is great. This is the joy of the harvest, right? All this great stuff is coming in. When I plant my garden and everything, and it's got this huge harvest, oh, it's great, it's awesome. And I'm happy with it, content. We begin to enjoy the increased fruit we're experiencing. But we got to understand that our goal is not satisfaction in where we're at. That's not God's goal. God's goal is not to get us into chair 3 and have us be satisfied with what we're doing. And we're not to be satisfied with the journey that God has us on. Jesus makes very clear that our goal is and that we get into chair 4 and that we are bearing fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Prove. Why? So we can prove that we are his disciples. By bearing fruit, we prove that we are Jesus' disciples, his disciples. We prove it. When we're in chair 4, something occurs that has never happened before. We start to bear much fruit. Much fruit is more than more fruit. It's much fruit. It's an abundance. You look back at what happened in the early church, from the point of when Christ died and was rose up to heaven on Mount of Olives, and how quickly the gospel spread. How in one day, 3,000 people came to Christ in one day because of what Peter said. And they baptized all of them. That's amazing. That is the much fruit. But what happened was then they decided to stay in Jerusalem. They didn't go to the ends of the earth like Jesus said. So he had to do what? He had to persecute them. He allowed persecution to happen. And it continued to happen even after that to keep the church going. It kept getting pruned all the time. Because their goal was not to be content with staying where they were. Their goal was to be bearing much fruit. It's not about the satisfaction. Because when we're in chair 4, we start to realize that it's not us bearing the fruit, really. It's on us and we're doing it, but it's God working through us. Apart from me, you can do nothing, right? I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Stay attached to the vine and you will bear much fruit. God works through it. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Billy Graham would not say, look what I've done. No, he would have said, look what God has done. Look what God has done. I've just been a tool in his hand. That's a chair 4 person. That's where God wants us to be. And it doesn't mean that we all got to be Billy Graham. That was his calling. But that means that wherever we're at, we can be disciples of Christ who are making disciples. Whether we are at work, or whether we are at school, or whether we are at the neighbors, it doesn't matter. We could be disciples of Christ as long as we are doing what he wants us to do. And that is to remain in him. To break through the barrier, we need to remain in him. It's a simple phrase in Greek. It means, it's meno. It means remain, abide, dwell, continue, tarry. No matter what translation you use, it's a beautifully rich word in the context of John 15, because it means to make Jesus my permanent dwelling place. He is everything to me. He is everything I want to be. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. To dwell in Jesus, to make him our permanent dwelling. That's the type of lifestyle that Chair 4 is. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process, and we have to walk with each other through it. Meno is a sign of maturity and a sign of Chair 4 living. It produces much fruit. By breaking through the satisfaction barrier, we become a true friend of God. We are no longer concerned with performing for God. We're just allowing him to work through us. Colossians 1:29 says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. That's Paul saying, I toil with the energy, with all this stuff, I toil with the energy that God uses in me. It is not me toiling. It is God doing it in me. That is a Chair 4 person, and that's where God wants us to be. As we meet in Christ, God gets the glory. That is the sweet spot in Christianity. It's where we need to be. It's where Billy Graham was. We've now basically made it through the four chairs. Next week I want to go back, because this chair here is the one that we're most apprehensive about. How do we reach people for Christ? How do we do it? So I'm going to show you a way to do it next week. And then the following week, I haven't decided yet. I did some more praying about it. But I'm thinking about talking about Chair 4. How do we remain in Christ? What does it mean to walk as he walked and remain in him? So I hope you join us in the next couple weeks. We need to abide in Christ. We need to be in him. We need to be in the chairs. Our goal is to be in Chair 4 and be a discipler, be a disciple who makes a disciple. We need to bear much fruit to show that we are Jesus' disciples and to give God the glory. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. Lord, we are in awe of your majesty and of your power and of your grace. Lord, you want us to bear much fruit. Help us to not get trapped by the barriers of sin, of the good things that are happening, and of the satisfaction that we have with where we are. Help us to abide in Christ, to find out how do we do that? How do we live our lives in such a way that your power is in us? And our focus is on you instead of our circumstances. Walk with us, Lord, as we attempt to walk with you. Lead us and guide us. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.